Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, Weasel Weez, Stephen Weasel Hurley. We are once again, unfortunately, without Chris Rankin. He, of course, is busy doing things with his new job out there, taking people around, touring them through magic, as it were. And, well, we live in the Orlando area, so if you can't figure out what that means, I'm not going to help you. That's what it is. Boom. That's how I roll. Right. I don't know. Because football. That's why we're here, bringing you football talk just the way you like it here on the NGN. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited. Granted, this coming week does not have as many games, but the Matchup Mania does have three very unique games that will be coming out on Wednesday. And, yeah, it's going to be week six on NGSCSports.com. Don't forget to check that out and all the other fresh content we have going on there on the website there if you want to read some of your sports during your time. I mean, I know you're not doing it at work, but, you know, and if you are, that's fine. We still love you. I'm just saying. What? Like, you've never read an article at work, Weasel. Come on. It happens. These things happen. That's what occurs. One more time. Weasel, Weez!
Yeah, boy!
Yeah, we are ready to do this thing. Man, I got to tell you right now, Weasel, I have a question. I know you're a Vikings fan. I'm not going to spend much time on last Thursday's debacle as to not cause you that much pain. But I'm aware this game was in Lambeau.
Yes.
So that's an outdoor stadium. Would you say that still the Vikings found a way to make the roof cave in?
Yeah, they did everything they could.
Well, not everything they could. They didn't start Teddy Bridgewater. But yes, well, please.
That was a good call.
Yeah. Well, okay.
See,
well,
I think... because Teddy Bridgewater, he does have an ankle injury. And the thing is that this game was on Thursday. So you get a longer week to prepare. But he can heal up because there's another player out there in actually the NFC North that re-aggravated his ankle injury.
Ooh, teaser.
More on that later.
Oh, look at that. He's teasing it. What a business professional right there. Weasel Weez sporting the badass haircut right now. It's pretty awesome. I know this is radio and not TV, but trust me, his haircut's badass today. That just deal with it. Deal with it. You know, 42-10 was the score of this. Christian Ponder only left me pondering bad quarterbacking skills. But it wasn't just him that was bad. I mean, Eddie Lacy had a big running game, you know, 13 for 105 with two touchdowns. What do you got, Weasel?
Got the game.
Okay, well, you're the one that decided not to talk about it. I'm waiting on you.
Woo! Okay, well, just saying that 42-10.
There you go.
All right, division rival, the Vikings, and Aaron Rodgers for the Packers. He had a good game. 12 of 17, 156 yards, but he had three touchdowns. And Christian Ponder, yeah.
Pondering bad quarterback play.
He was in because of rookie Teddy Bridgewater's ankle injury.
Yep, yep.
And he was 22 of 44, 222 yards, two INTs, and a rushing touchdown.
Which was garbage time. Yeah.
So I think this would be the last year for Christian Ponder as a Viking. So do you see him making it as a starter elsewhere, or will he just be a backup quarterback?
I think he's going to be at a damn gas station. We're talking about Ponder, right?
Yep.
Yeah, gas station. Gas station. Weasel? Gas station.
Gas station.
Selling insurance. Okay, no, he's going to sell insurance. That's true. That's true. I don't know. Even Eddie Lacy was able to run big, so I'm going to go back to that, too, really. What do you got?
Well, Eddie Lacy, yeah.
You keep stopping. I thought you were done.
He had, for the first 4 weeks, he had a season high of only 48 yards in a game. So I believe before this game, the Packers were about 25th in the league in rushing after he showed a lot of promise the previous year.
Never mind. Go ahead.
So he had 13 carries, 105 yards, two touchdowns. So with him, is that a sign of good things to come, or was it kind of a fluke?
It just doesn't matter. And that's what I was going to get to before, you know, during my rude efforts to apparently cut you off in the middle of you covering this game. Weasel shaking and say, no, you suck. No, but hey, I got to be a little bit bitter at you the way you were you've been beating up on me in the study hall lately. I'm just saying I can't hold it in, Weasel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to get Rob Witz on this. I suck, Weasel. No, but in all seriousness,
The defensive performance by the Vikings as well was quite putrid. I mean, let's call that what it is. Aaron Rodgers had 17 throws total and 3 touchdowns. That's not completions. That's throws. That's attempts. That's passes. And still managed 3 touchdowns. That means less than every 6 times he threw the football, there's a touchdown.
Yep.
Boom. Because math. I mean, they tried to sprinkle some Asiata on it, but yeah, it didn't matter.
Speaking of Asiata, he did have 15 carries for 72 yards and a fumble. Then you got the other guy, the pretty much a workout warrior. It's a rookie, Jerick McKinnon, and he was at 7 for 24. And do you see any of these two being, you know, legitimate, you know, possibly starting running backs, not due to like an injury, but because of skill?
I think these two quarterbacks are the future
running backs.
These two running backs are the future core of the Vikings. I don't think these guys are going to go anywhere, and I don't think they should. I mean, look, I'm not trying to tell you that sprinkling some Asiata on the top is going to solve all your problems. You're not going to reproduce Adrian Peterson. It's not going to happen, especially this day and age where those running backs don't exist. But these guys are a good committee.
What's nice is that Asiata, he is about, I think, 235 pounds or so, 230. And you have McKinnon, which is, I think, the guy's, muscle bound and stuff like that.
Hello, I'm Jerick McKinnon.
And the guy runs a 4.41. So what you got for the Vikings is a change of pace right there.
Precisely. You yep. change the pace.
And in the fourth quarter, the Packers led 42-0. Yeah.
What a bunch of girly losers, losing by 42 points.
Now, earlier, the Packers did have Julius Peppers, newly required free agent. He had a 49-yard interception return for a touchdown.
Yes.
So you got Julius Peppers on one end, you got Clay Matthews on the other. Where would you rank them as a duo among the teams in the NFL?
I mean, if we're talking about linebacker defensive end duos, that's a very interesting question. There are many ahead of them. I would put Brian Cushing and J.J. Watt ahead of them. I would put Patrick Willis and Justin Smith ahead of them. I would put Bobby Wagner and or Malcolm Smith, depending on who you want, and Cliff Averill or Michael Bennett ahead of them. I would keep going, but I'm not saying this to embarrass you. I just think that there's better duos out there on the whole. Right.
That's why it was a question, Kyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm answering it. What about it? That was funny. I'll give you credit, bro. Anyways, you want to know what else was absolutely hilarious? The Jets trying to make us think they could beat the Chargers. Yeah, it didn't happen. It didn't happen at all.
Not even close.
31-0. Zilch. Zero. Squadouche.
Cero.
Niente. Cero. Very good. Dropping the Hispanic.
Si.
For our Latino audience. I think 2 weeks ago that they had Hispanic heritage honorings in the NFL there, too. So, hey, good times there all the way around in that game, unless you're a Jets fan. I'm not even going to talk about this game all that much. I'm going to tell you the two things that are important for the topic I'm bringing up. Geno Smith, 4-12 with, is that 27 yards? Yeah, whatever. He had a pick, too, so he was pretty useless. And then Michael Vick, 8-19, 47 yards. Pretty abysmal, too. At this point, if you're the Jets, considering they both were horrid. By the way, they converted 1/3 down out of 12 attempts. That means they're fantastic.
That's a pretty low percentage.
Yeah, very good, Weasel.
I think it's like in the single digits.
8%. Very good, Weasel. So, but going into next week, if you're sexy Rex Ryan, whom do you start?
Well, both of them are, they're not having injury problems, right?
No, they just suck.
Yeah, well, it's just, you got Michael Vick. You kind of know from Michael Vick what you got.
Uh-huh.
And he's at least, you know, throwing the ball more. And he's not depending so much on his feet. But on the other side, you got Geno Smith, where the thing is that you're kind of, in this year to next year, you got to make a choice. Is this going to be your guy, or should you just, you know, pick someone else? Because he was only, I think he was a second round pick 2 years ago.
That's correct.
So I'd say play Geno, and then a couple more games. And then if not, you can still have a chance at the division, and you put in, you know, Vic. So it's just
For my money, the division's out of hand. Okay. I know the Jets won't think so, but here's what I know. even if the division is still in competition, if you're the Jets in the AFC East, which, I mean, that is a bad division. Let's call that what it is. But Michael Vick doesn't give you the best chance to win. And at least Geno Smith might develop. Vick won't. That ship sailed. I think you said it best. We know what we got with him. Geno Smith, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but might, just might improve. And if you actually have him come in at this point, confidence isn't going to be an issue because now he knows for a fact he's the best option and he's the man. This may actually make him put it on his shoulders. Sometimes sitting out for a half is what a quarterback psyche needs to get right. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to come out and, you know, he's going to be he's going to be an amazing quarterback off the bat or any of that. But I do definitely tell I definitely think that Geno Smith gives them the best chance to win amongst the quarterbacks on their roster. I don't know. I'll leave it at that. Anyway, so looking at the board, the next game we have to cover is the Chiefs facing off against the San Francisco 49ers. That's right, folks. The king of the checkdown himself, Alex Smith, facing off against the 49er team that cut him, who now bears the quarterback that led to his departure. 22-17 was the score as the 49ers held off the Chiefs with 5 field goals by Phil Dawson, which, by the way, Phil Dawson needs to be in the Hall of Fame one day. I'm just throwing that out there. But all that being said, the part that I couldn't get enough of was Alex Smith throwing an interception to seal the loss for his Chiefs squad. 17-31 on the day was Alex Smith with 2 touchdowns. Colin Kaepernick, 14-26 with 201 yards of his own. Jamal Charles, having probably his single best game of the year, went 15-80. But hey, the Frank Gore, Carlos Hyde duo for the 49ers combines for 28 carries for 150 yards. The Niners are a running team, and they definitely did it. But the biggest, most impressive thing of all here, Weasel, if you're following the 49ers, isn't the fact that they beat Alex Smith, isn't the fact that the running game did what it did, and isn't the fact that the defense was once again a factor in this contest. I looked at the penalties. Now, last week they had 8 penalties, and we thought that was a dramatic improvement. 2 penalties, 10 yards. Clean football, finally, from the 49ers. And I got to say, Weasel, if they made another mistake, they would have fallen short in that game. It would have been embarrassing, you know. Granted, their final drive to make the 5th Phil Dawson field goal did involve a fake punt completion and a 12 man on the field penalty for the Chiefs. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that stuff. But as it would turn out, Alex Smith throwing the pick at the end of the game would have just only made it 19-17 instead of 22-17. Because reasons, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, they would have had a different strategy and all that. That's fine. But the big topic surrounding the 49ers is an obvious one, man. I'm going to throw this question to you real quick. Mm-hmm. It was broken last week when Deion Sanders claimed that Jim Harbaugh, the coach of the 49ers, lost the locker room and all this other stuff. And there's been these stirrings and all this. What? Where do you come out on the whole Harbaugh coaching situation?
I got confused about it when I first heard about it.
Well, let's break it down.
Because I think Harbaugh is, you know, he was a player in the league, NFL. And so he kind of, you know, in a way can connect more with players than one that, you know, hasn't played. Maybe played some college or something. But the thing was that I think it was like a player's coach type of thing. He's very stringent on
strict
discipline and stuff like that. And the thing that I think of when I hear about the 49ers want to get rid of Harbaugh is when I believe it was the Jaguars, they had Tom Coughlin.
That's right.
And I think the Jaguars, I think in their first couple years in the league, they made it to the AFC Championship game.
That's
with
correct.
Brunell. And what happened? Coughlin was too hard on the team, like discipline wise, and I guess players weren't having as much fun.
Well, right. What was happening was they got to that apex that was a conference championship Sunday against the Titans, who shouldn't have been there because the alleged Music City Miracle was a forward pass. And you got a problem with that. That's how I feel. I'm sorry. At the SOTG on Twitter and give me the actual proof. I'm just saying. But after they reached that point, the Jaguars fans, you know, with Brunell and Natron Means and Jimmy Smith and that crowd, Keenan McCardle at one point, were all Tony Vaselli, of course, duh. But we're all enthused for continued success with that crowd, and it wasn't happening. Then Byron Leftwich entered the equation. They got rid of Brunell too soon, and that was all eventually making Tom Coughlin, who was, you know, Mr. Meaty Pants coach, you know, he was the scapegoat in the situation, right?
Yeah.
So then he just, all he did was go to New York and win a couple Super Bowls, no biggie. But I'm glad that you mentioned Coughlin, too, because he was a guy that was criticized very similar to Harbaugh and needed to have the ability to change his personality, which Coughlin did right before Strahan retired, which was that Super Bowl year, the first one. He formed a players committee and had them put some say-so in what should be done, and they suggested changes, and Coughlin made them, you know. And the other thing I want to point out, because Deion Sanders is not a credible source to me. Yeah, I know he played a year in San Fran, but I don't – his a 49ers source. We don't know who that is. Here's what I do know, though, Weasel. After that game – Alex Boone. Do you know who Alex Boone is, Weasel?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's unfortunate. He's an offensive lineman, so I don't blame you. They don't get a lot of fame. But perhaps you heard about an offensive lineman holding out in the offseason for the 49ers. Yes. Same guy. Bingo. Like, you like how I tied that together? Thank you for that, Weasel. That was very good how you led me through that. But the thing I found very interesting, now keep in mind, this is a player that was holding out in the offseason, went crazy that there was talk about his coach out there in the media. Now, who am I going to believe? Some guy who's retired and doesn't know how to tackle anybody or a thing about playing hard-nosed football in Deion Sanders. Granted, he's a Hall of Famer and he should be. Or the offensive lineman who held out and still supports his coach vehemently.
Did he get paid, though?
He did eventually get paid, yes. But, I mean, he's a holdout. There's bitterness there. I mean, and don't tell me there's not, by the way. I mean, I find it hard to believe that there isn't anything going on there. But right at that moment, he's defending Harbaugh. And here's the thing I can't get past if you're the 49ers, and I'm afraid this is going to happen. At the end of the season, they're going to let Harbaugh go. He's going to go somewhere else. And guess what? They'll have success.
Yeah, I just think that the 49ers, let's see, before, I think they started, like, it was like 2-3 years ago, they were making, I think, the AFC Championship game. They could go to the Super Bowl and stuff.
NFC.
Before Harbaugh, what's that? Yeah. Well, before Harbaugh, though, I mean, who were their coaches and stuff?
Mike Singletary, Mike Nolan, and I think we go back enough, we have Eric Allen, who was there for like a year, Steve Mariucci.
So all I'm saying is if they get rid of Coughlin now, I think before they can Harbaugh. Get back to Harbaugh.
Yeah, I don't play. We were talking about Coughlin. Yeah. I'm not getting on you.
I think that they're going to go run through about 3 or 4 coaches in the next like 5 years.
And
trying to find
someone
when they had them all along.
It could be one of these sad sacks that are trying to hope that John Gruden picks up the damn phone, right? Which, by the way, can we stop talking about him as a coaching candidate? He's not going to do it, people. At this point, I don't think you want him to. I'm just throwing that out there. Anyways, next game on the list. Cardinals versus Broncos. Now, Weasel, this was shaping up to be a pretty interesting game. What happened?
Well, the Broncos at home, they defeated the Cardinals 41-20. And we got a little history going on in here.
Uh-oh.
So, Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning, 31 of 47, 479 yards.
That's a lot.
4 touchdowns. I believe the guy's, 38 now? And I think literally, yeah, that's about his age at that.
Yeah, no, I'm not laughing because he's funny because he's true.
And so he got his 500 touchdown that game. He now has 503.
Boom.
There's a guy named Brett Favre.
Favre.
Who's, I think he's like finally retired. So
he's in Razor commercials now or something.
He has Manning is five away from Favre's 508th record. So you would at about two games, I think it's gonna take. Uh-huh. He'll have like three touchdowns and two touchdowns, something among that. I don't think he's gonna get five this weekend.
I don't either.
But you're gonna have Brett Favre, he's like, woohoo, touchdown record, yeah. And that's gonna be Manning's, and he'll still hold the interception record.
Boom. Oh. I was about to ask you, how close is Manning to the interception record?
But yeah, it's not looking very good for the Cards. Early on, they had some promise, but they have starting at quarterback Drew Stanton. It was 11 of 26 for 118 yards, and they had to put in. It was due to injury.
Concussion, yes.
So my view, it's like the big problem with the NFL is that how do you differentiate between a guy like you got RG3,
right,
who gets a concussion, then you have like this guy, Drew Stanton. Mm-hmm. If you have a franchise player that got a concussion, it's like, how are you going to take them out of the game? It's just, should the NFL do that? Like outside, should they take, if a guy has a concussion, should they stop him from playing the rest of the game? Or should, like, well,
that's what the medical staff is for.
Yeah.
Right.
So they did have a rookie, Logan Thomas, who went in,
right,
AKA the future. And he was one of eight with a touchdown. So.
With an impressive 81-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll give him some credit because that was a hell of a play. But, I mean, look, the Cardinals have become a sympathetic case for me, okay? They're out Darryl Washington because of suspension. They lose Carlos Dansby because he's in another squad now. Darnell Dockett is out due to injury, okay? Then there's a pretty cheap chop block that Bruce Arians has drawn attention to that now removes Calais Campbell from the game. So they're down four pretty significant defensive starters. They're down Carson Palmer because of a shoulder injury. And then they lose Stanton as well. Come on, man.
That's tough. I mean,
like, I you saw me, like, counting on my hands to keep track of all these injuries. And so, you know, everyone's like, oh, the Broncos blew the Cardinals out. Yo, put it in perspective.
It's, you know, the Broncos, they lost, like, the wide receiver that went to the Jets.
Oh, that would be Eric Decker.
Yeah. How's he doing over there anyways?
No. Yeah.
But all I'm going to say is that Demaryius Thomas did have 226 yards, two touchdowns. He did set a Broncos franchise record. Emmanuel Sanders, 101 yards. Julius Thomas, two touchdowns, and you got that guy Wes Welker back. So
yeah, he's all right.
I mean, they just added Emmanuel Sanders, put him in there, and pretty solid receiving core there. So
it's the exact opposite kind of news for the Broncos. Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be tough doing the study hall without knowing whether or not Drew Stanton's coming back. And I'm just going to call that what it is. But hey, we still got to do it because we are men and all that other stuff, and we pick games. I guess, I don't know. Actually, girls can pick games too, but whatever. Anyways, Falcons, Giants. Look, I had this one already secured for the Giants in my mind. But Weasel, go ahead and take it, man. I'm sorry, I'm getting in your way.
So the Falcons were on the road. They lost the Giants 30-20. So this was a pretty close game out.
Well,
it was all throughout. I think there was no lead over 10 points type of thing.
Right, right.
And going into the fourth quarter, the Falcons, they led 20-17. So you have the Giants then scoring 13 unanswered points to get the victory. So Eli Manning had a rough start to the season. He had three touchdowns to four INTs in his first two games, and he was playing pretty bad. It's like, people starting, critical of him, maybe rightfully so. But what do you got to say about his last three games this season? A respectable eight touchdowns to one INT. So with that, kind of recent success, who would you contribute that to? Is something maybe to do with the offensive coordinator? I believe it's a new one for the team, or what would you say?
My answer, that's close. The offensive coordinator may have something to do with it. I will certainly grant that. But I'm going to go with the success of the running game for the Giants being the difference, because Eli Manning has had an easier time, thrown only one interception in the past 3 weeks after leading the NFL last year. And I think he threw three interceptions to open the season. And now he only has one in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's what we call an improvement. Yeah, that's pretty good. I agree, Weasel. Absolutely. You know, but the disturbing part is now they're down Rashad Jennings. Now, I'll grant you, Andre Williams looking pretty good as a rookie. He did his thing and all, but I don't know. Rashad Jennings is going to be an issue for me. Why? You're making a face. What do you got, bud?
No. Go ahead. You're good.
Oh, you just feel bad for Rashad Jennings. Okay, that's cool. But, I mean, yeah, when it comes down to it, I mean, you know, I'm stealing a bit of your thunder here, but Andre Williams coming out and being a big running force, that's important. They've had guys like Larry Donnell or was it 2 weeks ago? I forget whichever night he just went completely ape.
Leave a tight end?
Correct. Very good. And then Odell Beckham did his thing.
Yes, he was. The thing about him, I mean, I kind of saw the name and didn't recognize it at all. I was like, must have been like, you know, a seventh round draft pick, or maybe he's undrafted. The guy made a touchdown, whooped. But it actually turns out that he was the 12th overall pick for the Giants. He, in his debut, he did have 4 catches for 44 yards and a fourth quarter touchdown. Mm-hmm. So, fantasy wise, like, how do you see, you know, him doing for the remainder of the season?
I see him being on a lot of rosters quickly, but
should you snag him from like the waivers, or is it kind of like that's about all it'll do?
Well, as long as people are paying attention to Victor Cruz and Reuben Randall instead of him, yeah, that's a move. By the way, I don't mean to get in your grill here, Weasel, but Eli Manning is technically 3 weeks interception free.
Oh, that's nice. Good for him.
So, boom.
Now, there's another guy. There's Steven Jackson. He's got 2 touchdowns this season, but his game high for running is 54 yards in a game.
That's not very good.
So, are they utilizing him improperly, or would you just say he's just too old, that he should retire?
Yeah. With the Falcons, first of all, they do a committee system anyway, so no running back is going to have dominating numbers. But you said something very interesting before the show started, that the past few games, Matt Ryan has broken the 40 attempts mark throwing the football.
So that is 4 out of the first 5 games this season.
Oh, crap. That's even more than I remember you saying. Yeah.
He had over 40 attempts.
So that let me ask you this. Doesn't that tell you that the running game ain't going to do enough?
Well, that's the thing, because a lot of times you're going to look at a game like the Vikings-Packers game. You see 42-10. Of course you're going to throw the ball more. But you try to, you know, somehow get some points. But for the Falcons, it's like you got a running game. Not a very good running game, but
Well, you mentioned a blowout. The Vikings blew them out last week, so they had precisely that reason.
Yeah. So it's just that Matt Ryan, I think, you know, 40 attempts per game over it, I don't think that's good for the team, but
you were a heady with Teddy. Boom.
Yeah. So
nothing's gonna beat I'm hot for Farad. I don't know why I keep trying. What the hell is wrong with me? I'm just asking to fail.
Yep, so we'll see how Matty Ice does in the future.
You know, and I gotta give him credit. I knew the Giants were gonna win this game all the way around because of all the injuries on their offensive line. They're tied in. Tuiololo. Had to fill in last week at the right tackle spot. I believe he had to do the same thing here. Again, I know he didn't have any catches for certain. But I give Matt Ryan credit for hanging in and fighting the good fight, as the kids say there. But see, we're kind of coming up on that halfway mark here, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. You're listening to the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. Join us as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week till the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NGU, football talk, just the way you like it.
And we are back here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it. Of course, I'm here with Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel, Weasel! Hayes.
Yeah, boy.
I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game, and we are taking you through the second half of the Student of the Game podcast here as we go through what happened on NFL, on the rest of NFL Sunday, I guess I should say, taking us to the Bengals and the Pats. You know what, Weasel? I expected this game to at least be close. It was not. I don't even know what to make of that exactly. Maybe because it was Foxborough, maybe because it was Brady. I don't know. Me personally, Vontaze Burfict being on the sideline made the difference. What makes you say that, Cal? Well, considering the fact that Stevon Ridley and Shane Vereen combined for 203 yards on 36 carries. Is that a lot?
That's a good amount, definitely.
Yeah. I'm going to say, yeah, that's better than 6 yards a freaking carry.
Mm-hmm.
Because math. Well,
yeah.
No. It's not better than, but it's pretty close, is what I should say. But anyways, what I'm getting to is this. You have that going on. Gronk went completely ape for the first time in a while. Six catches, 100 yards and a touchdown. And then Tim Wright had the other tight end. Maybe you know him as the guy they got in the Logan Mankins trade. Yeah, 5 catches, 85 yards and a touchdown of his own. 3 fumbles by 3 different receivers had the Bengals. A.J. Green had one, Brandon Tate had one, and Dane Sassenbacher. He was a girly man. He rolled his boat down the loser stream and fumbled the football. Yeah.
I approve of that.
Because Hans and Franz, that's why. Sassenbacher. Weasel just looks at me. Why aren't you talking? Sassenbacher. Just do it once. It's fun. Try it.
Sassenbacher.
Right? I'm telling you.
It's catchy.
Everybody who listens to this podcast is going to say it under the breath. Sassenbacher.
Yeah.
Low enough so
you read it, you're going to think it.
Sassenbacher. Hello. Anyways, he had a fumble. So he did have a catch for 5 yards and a fumble. That's pretty much it. No turnovers, however, by the Ginger Ninja. I'm glad that the talk that I've heard isn't leaning towards him being the problem here. Because reasons, and I'm going to say Vontaze Burfict mostly, not being in the middle of that defense. When you have that many turnovers and the other side has none, this is the kind of differential you get. I'm not going to say anything stupid like the distance is closer than the score in this game, but I'm not brave enough to call it a fluke either. You know, if these two teams face each other again, which may just happen because they are both AFC teams that are dominating their respective divisions at the moment, I don't think it'll go the same. Weasel.
Well, looking at Brady's regular season stats, okay, you got week 1, 1 touchdown, no INTs. Week 2, 1 touchdown, no INTs. Week 3, 1 touchdown, no INTs. Week 4, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs. And then you have this game where he was, you know, pretty darn good, 65% completions with 2 touchdowns and no INTs. So early on, I mean, you don't those numbers you expect from Brady maybe a 3-touchdown, 1-INT thing, and you have something that's kind of consistent with, like, you know, multiple touchdowns and all that stuff. He's got Gronk is I think he's pretty healthy right now. Knock on wood.
Well, certainly.
So maybe this was a turnaround game for him, because the thing is the Cincinnati defense is, you know, even though they had, you know, some injuries and stuff, they're still a pretty good core. So,
yeah,
maybe this could be a good thing for Tom Brady.
And it certainly was. I mean, this is going to have his mind right in a heartbeat. Not to say that his mind was off. I mean, he certainly wasn't happy about Logan Mankins leaving and all that other stuff and all the other toys that have been taken out of his toy box, toy chest, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But I'm not ready to say the Pats are legit yet either.
Well, they're tied along with a team that they're tied with, the Bills. Do you believe that?
Yeah, that's
3-2 record.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, let's go Buffalo.
Yeah, actually, that's not kind of ridiculous. That's very ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyways, other things that are ridiculous: starting Blake Bortles. I told you so. That's right. I said it. Did I not say it? I said it.
Yeah.
Weasel's nodding because this is radio, not TV.
He did say this.
Do you know what I am saying? Anyways. The Steelers do sneak away from the Jags 17-9. Blake Bortles, 22 for 36, 191 yards with 2 touchdowns and a pick 6 as one of them. might have been a factor in the game. I'm just saying, a decent something I mentioned on the ground. The dominant part of this run game was all UCF. Storm Johnson and Blake Bortles combining for 8 carries for 41 yards.
Brute.
Not a very impressive support for Blake Bortles trying to throw the football.
He's a rookie too.
Yeah, and he needs to not be starting yet. I don't see what he gained from this particular game, for example. I just don't see it. 0-for-2 in the red zone also were the Jags, so it's not like the opportunities weren't there. The Jags defense did a solid job. Steelers were 1-for-4 in the red zone. Roethlisberger went 26-for-36, 273 yards with a touchdown and a lost fumble. But when you want to run the football, Le'Veon. 15 carries for 82 yards. Le'Veon. That's more than that's double the yards in under double the carries for Le'Veon. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to ask a question, though. The Steelers don't frighten me either. And you mentioned that Blake Bortles is a rookie. And if one day he turns it on, the Jags might be dangerous.
Yeah.
So in that very concept in itself, you're a team. Who's scarier on your schedule right now? The Steelers, who you know are declining, are the Jags that could be just a bit away from blowing up, allegedly.
Well, technically, if you compare the quarterbacks for each team, you got Big Ben. And what's kind of cool, the thing is Big Ben and Bortles, they kind of have a lot alike.
The comparison has been drawn, yes.
But the one thing is about drafting a franchise quarterback is that you could see that someone has a prototypical weight. He's like, 235? He's about 6'5", which is definitely tall. He's got a strong arm and all that stuff, but it's like those intangibles type of thing. How do you act in like the fourth quarter? Do you have poise? How are you leadership-wise?
Do you throw pick sixes?
Yeah. So, Matt Schaub was thinking, oh, it's just not me. So,
Woot!
Yeah, but I think Blake, the guy's got a lot of talent. Watching him at UCF as a season ticket holder, mm-hmm. In the fourth quarter, he was constantly making comebacks. UCF won like 11 straight games or so.
Yeah.
And they were actually playing, decent teams, and they beat a very high-powered offense or outscored Baylor. So he does have
in the Fiesta Bowl, yes.
In the Fiesta Bowl, which was a BCS game.
Correct.
So
BSC.
He's got, all that potential and stuff, yeah. But I see him, improving, but I mean, it's not a surprise that he would struggle because the Steelers, they still have a guy named Dick LeBeau, who is the defensive coordinator. The guy's pretty good.
You know who else? Troy Polamalu.
Polamalu?
Polamalu, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm not knocking Bortles. I just don't think it's the right time to start him right now. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Speaking of people who it is the right time to start, Brian Hoyer. I done told you people. Brian Hoyer. But Cal, the Titans were about to win that game. Yeah, they were about to, and then gave up the biggest road comeback in NFL history. 29-28 were the Browns victorious. Hoyer went 21-37, 292 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an INT. Jake, I'm about to get stuffed in a locker. 8-11, 79 yards, had a touchdown in the air and a running touchdown, while Charlie Whitehurst went 13-21, 194 yards with a touchdown of his own. I got to say it, man. I think Jake Locker's done as far as a career. I mean, yeah, he left this game due to injury, but how much time can they spend on him? The future may be bright for Justin Hunter as a receiver. He had a touchdown for the Titans. Kendall Wright is still a good receiver. He was a factor for the Titans. But Travis Benjamin had 2 touchdowns in this game as well. And the Browns defense managed a safety. Yes, Weasel.
I'd like to say first about Jake Locker. There was a draft, I think it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Right.
The number 8 overall pick was, I believe it was Jake Locker. The Jags was number 9.
You're right.
Who got,
Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert.
Yep.
And then you have number 12 for the Minnesota Vikings. Christian Ponder. So
no matter what you did, you were
those
screwed.
3 quarterbacks. Not very good this year. Maybe in future, yes. Yeah. So that's all.
By the way, that's 2011, right?
I think it was 3 years ago.
Okay. So another quarterback who didn't go until the next round, Andy the Ginger Ninja Dalton.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Interesting. Anyways. Thank you, Captain Hindsight. Anyway, so with that, the Eagles hosted the Rams, and the Eagles got off to a huge start on their own. They blocked a punt that eventually into a touchdown. Second week in a row, they pulled off this feat. They sacked Austin Davis for one of his two fumbles on the day that led to a touchdown as well. And had all this going on with special teams and defense and all that, and only ended up winning 34-28. Give Austin Davis credit. Huge day. 29 for 49, 375 yards with three touchdowns. But he lost two fumbles. Look, I got to be honest. I'm not blaming him. Somehow or another, a team that lets the Eagles defense do this to you, this is the quarterback's fault? That's a tough sale. Eagles defense had four sacks to the Rams, zero. Nick Foles had a much better game after being shut down by the 49ers. He did have an INT and a fumble. But 24 for 37, 207 yards with two touchdowns was him. And then Shady McCoy, 24 carries, 81 yards, finally showing some signs of life. Darren Sproles had 7 for 51 on his own. So there's some ground game there all the way around. Brian Quick, 5 catches for 87 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Kenny Britt, former Titan, 3 catches, 60 yards and a touchdown. I got to tell you, Weasel, the past couple weeks, the Eagles doing what they're doing away from the offense to score, and their offense not scoring all that much by my count here. I have 14 points from the offense. Check that. Yeah, 14 points from the offense. I'm not enthused.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm an Eagles fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, LeSean McCoy, you had it like last week. I think he had like I think it was one fantasy point or whatever. And
10 carries, 17 yards.
Yeah. And so, you know, he was getting, you know, frustrated. Nick Foles, last year, he was pretty darn awesome. I think he had like 20 touchdowns and one INT or something like that.
Well, the point is he's turning the ball over a lot more now.
Yeah, a lot. I think last year I was thinking, you know, this guy could be the future. Right now it's like you're getting a little bit more into reality. So
welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where he did good last year, but the guys, I'm not sure if he's the franchise quarterback right now. He's up there, but I think he has some ways to go, but that's just me.
I mean, even if he is, he's a system quarterback, and that's okay. Being a system quarterback has worked for Tom Brady for so long. That's right, I said it. But, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, though. If you're successful as a system quarterback, that's fine. I think Foles is the guy. He's just having a sophomore slump. The Eagles are still atop the NFC least. I'm sorry, I mean East. You know, that is what it is. But it'll be interesting to see what else that happens when they play the other teams in the division. More spoiler for the study hall. The Bears faced off against the Panthers. Weasel, walk me through it.
Well, in a tight game going into the fourth quarter, the Bears on the road lost to the Panthers 31-24. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton, respectable day. He had a 19-35, 255 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT. And then you got Jay Cutler. He was 28-36, 289, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs, but he did have a rushing touchdown. So
a running touchdown, the single most embarrassing thing for the Panthers defense all season, is a Jay Cutler running touchdown. I'm just saying.
It's so you got two players. You got Cam Newton, who's about 25. I think Cutler right now is about 31. But if you could pick one for like rookie year starting off, Cam Newton versus Jay Cutler, who would you take?
Oh, well, I mean, goodness, that. The reason why that's tough is they're so very different quarterbacks. But considering that Cutler's always had at least one weapon, in my view, where Cam has oftentimes only had one weapon, I would take Cam on his body of work right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, I mean, golly, Matt Forte was the man in Chicago more often than Cutler was, right?
So, yeah, speaking of that, Forte did have 17 carries for 61 yards and 12 catches for 105 yards and a touchdown. So
a little busy.
You got Forte, you got Cutler. So which player would you say is more detrimental to the Bears' success?
More detrimental?
Yeah, like
I mean, well, if Cutler does bad, it hurts the Bears more, right? Forte could have a bad game. If Cutler keeps control of the ball, the Bears are still fine. We've seen it all throughout the season so far. Cutler goes out and has two games with two interceptions. Guess what? Bam, they're both losses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that really much pretty much explains itself, right?
Yep.
So, I don't know. Anyways, with that gem of knowledge, this bottom feeder battle that's up next, gotta tell you, was at least a compelling football game. The Saints host the Bucks in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and crawl away with a 36-31 overtime victory. Jimmy Graham did leave the game early due to a shoulder injury. But give it up for Mike Glennon, 19 for 22, 249 yards, two touchdowns and interception. Vincent Jackson, eight catches for 144 yards. But the big thing to me, Weasel, on offense, the Bucks ran 53 plays total. Keep in mind, this is an overtime game, okay? The Saints, 86 offensive plays run.
That's
a lot, bro. That's a lot. And with that kind of differential, if you don't have the ball to score, you can't score. I mean, the fact that the Bucks had 31 points is just a tribute to how bad, A, the Saints defense is and how good that Mike Glennon and company were doing. But another factor, penalties, 15 penalties for 113 yards had the Bucks. The deciding factor in that game for me overall. I'll leave it at that. Anything to add to this game, Weasel?
Nah, it's just usually if you want to like run down time or whatever, it's like just go to the running game type thing.
Yeah.
But the thing with Breeze is that the guy throws a lot and he actually completes the passes.
57
so,
throws this game.
So if you look at like, you know, rushing attempts, usually that's how I look at to see who has the better time of possession. Mm. With a player like Breeze, I mean, the guy throws and he can still keep the clock moving. So,
well, and third down completion, obviously the big thing here as well for the Saints offense to keep the ball rolling. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Bills, Lions, Weasel.
Okay, Bills quarterback Kyle Orton.
What?
Debuted this season on the road versus the Lions and the Bills on the road. Edge passed the Lions 17-14. They're tied for number one in the AFC East.
You mean the least? East.
I don't know if that was on purpose the other time, but
I
liked it.
It was on purpose last week. Creative
right there.
Oh, yes.
So
I'm not the only one who's done it, but.
Well, the Bills, they did bench EJ Manuel, and Orton got a decent game. 30-43, 308 yards, one touchdown, one INT. Manuel is in his second year. He was chosen, I think, from the people thought he would go second, third round. He went over to like number 12 or 13 overall
in the first round, correct.
So is he the franchise quarterback from what you've seen this season, or the guy needs more time to, you know, learn?
Here's what I don't get. And granted, a bunch of people have tried to sell me on this point, especially our very own good friend of the show, Brandon Pemberton, the premier Bashir himself. He's been on this show to talk about draft and prospects and all that many times. And he's trying to tell me that the move was made to keep up with the division with the Patriots. Let's call it what it is, right? I still don't think putting in the guy that got replaced by Tim Tebow is the answer for this team to get better. You cut him after a week of facing J.J. Watt. And he's a second-year quarterback.
Yeah.
No. What? No. Moreover, in this particular performance, don't give me, oh, but Cal Orton won. Okay, fine. He was on the winning squad. The game's this close because 7 of the 14 points scored by the Detroit Lions was a pick six by Kyle Orton.
Yep. So just a couple more things about this game.
Get it.
You got Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron. The guy's human. he had an ankle injury last week, and so they decided to play it. He ended with one catch for 7 yards.
Right.
He left the game. It was re-aggravated, so he left the game at about the third quarter. Interesting that in that third quarter, in the third and fourth quarter, the Lions scored 0 points. So got to give props to the rookie, Sammy Watkins. he had in just about, like, it was 21 seconds left, he had a 20-yard catch that brought them over to the the Lions. It was the 40-yard line. So Dan Carpenter, Dan, I should have been a carpenter, came up big. He, unlike the other kicker, I got his name right now, but
the Lions kicker Shankopotamus an opportunity to win the game.
0-for-3
or
but
tie. Sorry,
pretty big stuff is Dan Carpenter's 58-yard field goal to win the game.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely, and you know, quickly look, the Bills are winning with defense and running. So I don't care who you put at quarterback, but Kyle Orton ain't the answer. And give Golden Tate some credit, 7 catches for 134 with a touchdown in Calvin Johnson's weakened state where he's a decoy. I mean, and that's been the case last week as well. He was virtually useless in the performance there. They need to rest him, but I think they know if they rest him, those are losses.
I think there's a fantasy alert here. If you got Golden Tate, start him.
Well, by now I don't think you'll get him. But anyways... Quickly, the Battle of Texas, Texans, Cowboys. This one went into overtime. I said it would be close last week. I didn't think it was going to be this close. The Cowboys win, and the play that could be said to make the difference was something pretty amazing. On the outside, J.J. Watt beats the tackle, has a shot at Tony Romo, leaps at him. 34-year-old broken back Tony Romo pirouettes out of the hands of J.J. Watt, rolls to the left, dodging Danielle Metting, rushing in from on a blitz, flings the ball down the field to one Terrence Williams for the touchdown. Very, very amazing play. First of all, you managed to get past J.J. Watt, you get points already to make that play happen. And I'm not hearing anybody giving Tony Romo enough props on this. I'm sorry. It's more about J.J. Watt missing than it is about Tony Romo getting the touchdown and winning the freaking game.
It's the story of Tony Romo's life.
Well stated. Well stated. Yeah, both running backs went ape. Arian Foster, 23 for 157. And DeMarco Murray, 31 for 136. The Cowboys had 3 turnovers and still managed to win the game. That should tell you something about a bit of resolve. And I would talk more, but we're running low on time. So let's just run over to Ravens, Colts. I said it earlier, or I said it last week in the Matchup Mania and in the study hall, that if there's a situation where it comes down to Flacco versus Luck, I'm going to pick Luck every time. However, if I'm asked to pick between the Ravens defense and the Colts defense, I wouldn't have been so confident. Yet nonetheless, wow, the Colts defense making a difference in this football game. 1 for 11 on third down were the Ravens, as well as 2 failed fourth down attempts. That's a little bit of defensive pressure for you. Andrew Luck had 32 for 49, 312 yards, a touchdown, an interception, and a run touchdown as well. Flacco, 22 for 38, 235 yards, and an interception. Yeah, still not a fan, gotta tell you. Gotta tell you. Anyways, we've run through it all. Chris has given me his picks. It's about that time, folks. Weasel's bobbing his head. He loves this music. It is time for the study hall. Last week, I'm creeping up. That's right, Weasel. I'm creeping up. 11-3 was I. Chris was 11-3. Weasel was 10-4. You picked the Pats when we didn't. Otherwise, I would have gained more points on you. But woulda, coulda, whatever. Let's get it going. Colts versus Texans. Thursday night, Chris has the Colts. Weasel.
And Colts.
I agree with the note that Chris has here. If there were 2 J.J. Watts on Houston's squad, I'd think about it. If Jadeveon Clowney was fresh, I'd think about it. I, too, have the Colts. Bears, Falcons, Weasel. Chris has the Bears.
He's got the Bears? Okay. I'll take the Bears also. Falcons, I don't think they're...
Yeah, until I hear about their offensive line recovering, I, too, have the Bears. And please inform your wife / mother-in-law that Cutler better not suck again this week.
Yeah.
Jags, Titans. Chris going home or saying that the Jags will get their first win, and so too will Blake Bortles. Weasel.
I think defense is going to get the Titans the win.
I think defense is going to get the Jags the win. I mean, dude, Jake, I should have been stuffed in a locker, and Charlie Whitehurst. I know Blake's been throwing picks, but yeah, I still got the Jags. Call me crazy. Ravens, Bucks. Chris has the Ravens. Weasel.
Bucks, you kind of don't know what you're going to get from them, but I will pick the Ravens.
I, too, see the Ravens bouncing back. Yeah, I know it's Joe Flacco, but Haloti Ngata had an interception last week. That should tell you how that defense rolls. Could be a problem for Mike Lennon and company. Broncos, really? Everybody's got the Broncos on this one. I'm not even letting you pick the Jets. I can't steal a game that cheaply. Lions, Vikings. Chris has the Lions. Weasel.
Megatron may be out. So, I'll pick the Lions.
You'll pick the Lions. You know,
but Teddy.
Exactly. Teddy, so you're talking about Calvin Johnson and Megatron and all that. You forget to mention I might get a heady with Teddy.
I'm changing it.
Oh no, he did it.
I'll go Vikings.
Homerlicious is Weasel. He's going Vikings. I'm not that brave. You know what the problem for the Vikings is for me? The defense and lack thereof. Reggie Bush is still around. Golden Tate had a big game. I'm going to have to pick the Lions. It will be close, though. I'm sure about that much, I think. Pats, Bills. Chris has the Pats. Weasel.
This is going to be an interesting game. I'll pick the Pats.
No, it's not. It's going to be the Pats, and it won't be close. I'm just trying to tell you. Anyways, and if I get that wrong, I'll play that clip and make fun of myself the whole time. Panthers. Bengals. Chris has the the Bengals. Weasel.
Let's see. I'll go Panthers.
You're going to go Panthers. Let me tell you why I'm going to go Panthers as well. His name is Greg Olsen. If they don't have Vontaze Burfict back, the Panthers are going to win this football game. If not, Chris is going to gain another game on us, and I'm just going to get pissed. Steelers, Browns. Chris has the Browns.
I don't blame him. let's see. I guess it's because it's a division rivalry game. I will go with the Steelers.
You're going to go Steelers. I, too, am going to go Browns because Hoyer has proven himself lately. And the Steelers have not, okay? Nearly losing to the Jags last week. Losing to the Bucks 2 weeks ago. The Steelers got to show me something if they want me to pick them anytime soon again. I've got the Cleveland Browns. Packers, Dolphins. Chris has the Pack Weasel.
I'll pick the Packers.
And that's going all the way around. Chargers, okay. I was about to say Chargers, Ravens. That's not going to happen. Cowboys, Seahawks. Weasel, Chris has the Seahawks.
Seahawks for true?
Cowboys?
Yeah, I'll go Seahawks.
Mostly because they're at home, but this will be an interesting game to watch because it will be the barometer to see if the Cowboys are indeed for real, as they say. Next up, Redskins, Cardinals. Chris has the Cardinals. Weasel.
I like the Redskins quarterback situation more, so I'll pick the Redskins.
I like everything else they have more. I've got Cardinals on this one. Granted, there is no right answer in this game. It's a problem. Both answers are freaking wrong. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I know they're out.
90 seconds.
But that defense is still pretty awesome, even without that, I'd say. Giants, Eagles. Chris has the Giants. Weasel.
Giants looked good last week. Giants.
I know the Giants are bad on special teams. Damn it, I'm going to do it. Contrarian. I got the Eagles. I need some games, too. That could cost me, but whatever. 49ers, Rams. Chris has the Niners. Weasel.
I'll take the Niners.
60 seconds.
Will I round and get out? It's not that the Rams are a bad team. It's just, unfortunately, the Niners are just a little bit better. That, my friends, will do it for the study hall. And of course, with just about a minute left in the show, we've had a great time here. Of course, I am the student of the game, Kyle Nash. You can find me on Twitter at the SOTG. Find Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Steven Weasel Hurley at Weasel the SOTG. And of course, Chris Rankin. Wish him well and to be back soon. He will be with us next week at Rankin the SOTG. Of course, check out the website www.ngscsports.com. NetWorkSports.com. You can check out my piece, The Matchup Mania. That will tell you all the games worth watching this week. Certainly mentioned a few of them during the study hall. At least I hope so. And
10 seconds.
I'm just a good time all the way around if you want to know what games to make sure your popcorn is popped for. So there you go. Until next time, folks. Class dismissed.